Well, good morning. You might have guessed by my appearance in this portion of the service that our pastors Steve and Jess are out this week. They are on the way to Uganda, so they're in the middle of a missions trip. They might be there by now. They're there? Awesome. So if you guys remember them throughout the week, please remember to pray for those guys. Because missions trips they're awesome experiences. There's a lot of good stuff that happens, but sometimes people get on each other's nerves, and sometimes things don't go right, and they need our prayers to kind of cover them. And God can minister in the hearts of the people that are going on the trip also. So ask God to bless Steve and Jess and the rest of our crew that are halfway around the world and ministering for him. So my name is Jake Moore, and I'm the worship leader here at Grace. And I like to say that I'm the third string preacher also. So good luck to you guys during this portion, right? So I'm going to continue the series, kind of pick up where Steve left off, called What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. And it's talking about the wisdom from Proverbs and those situations in life where you're not quite sure how to handle it, and there's no clear direction in Scripture, and what do you do when you don't know what to do? So as part of this series, Steve has challenged us to read through Proverbs, one chapter a day. Proverbs has 31 chapters, so read a chapter a day, you're through it in a month. And I really enjoyed doing that. If you guys haven't been reading along with us, then there's no time like today. You know, get done with your Sunday afternoon nap, and let's start reading Proverbs. It's been challenging for me. There's been several times where the words have been processed, and they were headed out the door, and I had to kind of reel them back in, because that very day I had read, maybe you shouldn't be talking about people like this. Maybe you shouldn't say stuff when people aren't around. So it's been striking to me the way that the wisdom of the Bible, the wisdom of Proverbs, is different than the way I want to live my life and different than the way the world thinks is wise and prudent and good. So it's been awesome, and I challenge you guys to join along with us and finish reading Proverbs out this month. My goal today is I want to leave you out the door with a couple of practical things to kind of hang your hat on, kind of think about, especially if you are in one of those sticky situations where you got a big decision looming and you're not quite sure what to do with it. I want to give you something that you can maybe at least think about and help you get you on the right road to coming to a good decision, a wise decision in that spot in your life. So before we do that, let's pray and ask God to kind of carry us along today. Father, we come to you and we realize that you are a wise and awesome creator, and we realize that we are creatures that mess up all the time, and we need your help and we need your wisdom, and right now we need you to speak to us and guide us. We need you to use this time to transfer your wisdom to us and help us, especially if we're in one of those tough times where we don't know what to do, help us, give us some clarity, give us some direction so that we know your way forward. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Why doesn't your stomach digest itself? Have you ever thought about that? It's a little gross, but why it digests everything else that you put in it. Why doesn't it digest itself? Why do we park in a driveway and drive in a parkway? Who was in charge of naming those things? They did a terrible job. Why is the word abbreviation so long? This is a good one for Derek and Jason. Why is the person who invests your money called a broker? Either somebody was trying to be funny when they came up with that name, or they lost a lot of money maybe. Why do we say a pair of pants when it's only one article of clothing? We don't say a pair of shirt. Why doesn't glue stick to the inside of the bottle? This is the kind of stuff that I think about when I have free time, just kind of, just mulling it over, just thinking about it. Why did God give us a big Bible with all kinds of stories and words in it, and we can come up with so many situations in our lives that's just not in there? Why isn't God more clear? When it's clear that he wants us to act a certain way and do things a certain way, why isn't he more clear about so many situations that come across our path, and we're just kind of left in the dark. Why isn't he more clear? You could have a good job, a decent job that pays you well, and you like your boss, you like your coworkers, and you get offered another job. How are you going to sort that out? How are you going to figure, should I take the new job? Should I move my family across the state, different city, whatever, to take this job? How do you come to a decision, a wise decision in that circumstance? You could have the opportunity to sell your house and move to a new house. There's nothing in the Bible about how much to sell your house for and how to go about that and how to figure that out. You could be in a situation where a friend or a family member is kind of in a tough spot. They're having some problems, some difficulties, and you're thinking about inviting that person to come stay with you for a little while. What's the wise thing to do? How are you going to come up with a good answer to that question? There's all kinds of stuff that happens to us that just isn't in the Bible and God isn't clear about. So what do you do when you don't know what to do? Now, like I said, I'm going to try to give you some practical steps, some things to think about to come to a wise and prudent decision. But before we do that, I want to just take a little commercial break and make sure that we are framing this the right way. Make sure that we're thinking this through the right way. Because I think that sometimes we get in situations where we look at this big decision looming in front of us and we start wringing our hands and saying, I don't know what to do. How am I going to figure this out? And we know exactly what to do. We just don't have the guts to do it, right? We know the right thing to do, but we just can't make it happen for whatever reason. So let's make sure we're not thinking that way. I'm reminded of the story of Jonah in the Old Testament. And Jonah had kind of a special relationship with God. He was a prophet, and so God was very clear when he told Jonah to go do something. And you guys know the story. He had told Jonah to go and preach to these guys in a town called Nineveh. And these guys in Nineveh kind of had a lousy reputation. They were ruthless. They would kill people. They were just mean people. They were jerks. And Jonah didn't want to go to preach to them. So then he went the other way, and he got in the boat in the storm. They threw him overboard. The whale comes. You guys know the story. But kind of hidden in there in that story is the real reason that Jonah didn't want to go preach to those guys at Nineveh. Because he knew that God was a gracious God and God would forgive them if they turned from their sinfulness and followed God. He didn't want to go preach to them because he was afraid they would repent and turn and follow God. And before we start getting up on our high horse and saying, oh, Jonah, man, oh, what a terrible character, dude. What a jerk, withholding God's grace from people. Before we start thinking that, I can tell you just off the top of my head, several instances where I knew the right thing to do. I knew I needed to go talk to somebody and make a situation right, and I didn't want to go. And I didn't want to go, not because I was worried the conversation was going to get messy and it was going to turn bad. I didn't want to go talk to him because I was worried the conversation was going to end up good, because that meant I was going to have to forgive that person, and I had been hurt, and I wanted to hang on to that. If I forgave that person, then that meant I would have to stop being mean to that person and ignoring them and avoiding them and stop talking mean about them behind their back. I would have to restore that relationship, and I didn't want any part of that. So if you're in a situation, I don't mean to be picking at you, but if you're in a situation where there's a big decision in your life, make sure that it's just a big decision because that's the way it is. Don't make it a big decision because you don't have the guts to do the right thing. Sometimes we know the right thing, we just don't want to do it. So, like I said, five things to think about, five principles for decision making. The first one, are there biblical examples? Are there biblical examples? There are a lot of stories and stuff in the Old Testament and the New where these characters, we can see how these characters interacted with their situation. A lot of times it looks a lot like what we're dealing with. We just talked about that with Jonah. We took a situation from my life and said, hey, there's times where I don't want to do the right thing because I'm worried that it'll turn out good. And we kind of interacted with it. And the good thing about all those Bible stories is that the person doesn't necessarily need to be a good example, kind of like Jonah wasn't a good example. Twice he wasn't a good example. But we can still learn from his story. And then another great thing that we can figure out in those situations is we can look at God's character in those stories and see how God interacts with the players in the game. And we can learn a lot about him. What did we learn about God in Jonah's story? That he's a gracious God. He's willing to forgive murderers and just terrible people that have terrible reputations. He's willing to forgive that. And he's willing to forgive Jonah and kind of nudge him back toward the right path. So we don't need to be wringing our hands if we're on the wrong path. We just listen to God's guidance and get back on the right path. So are there biblical examples? That's your first one. The second one is kind of piggybacks off of that. Consider God's character. So we can learn a lot about God's character and biblical examples. We should consider that if we have a tough decision looming in our lives. Consider God's character. Proverbs chapter 3 says, "By wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge the watery depths were divided, and clouds let drop the dew." I read that a couple weeks ago, and it struck me because we think of wisdom, we tend to think of wisdom as this ethereal thing that we have to try to attain, like enlightenment, and we try to grasp hold of it, and we try and get it to make us better versions of ourselves. But the way I read this, what this makes sense to me is that it tells about how God, using wisdom, created the world. It talks about how wisdom is an integral part of the character of God. So we should strive for wisdom because that's the way God is. We should try to be like our Father. We should try to be like God. The Bible says we should be imitators of God. If we're following Jesus, we need to start looking like him. So we need to think about the way that he acts and the things that are important to him and the pieces of his character. Maybe you're in a situation where you have an opportunity, a tough situation, but you have an opportunity to show someone grace and mercy. What is the character of God? The character of God is full of grace and mercy. So if you have the opportunity to be gracious to people, you should do that. God is never going to put you in a situation where the right thing to do, the wise thing to do, is contrary to his character. He's not going to want you to lie or steal or do something unethical. That's not the way he operates. So that's something to think about if you're in a tough spot. Consider God's character. Number three, the third principle, consider your core values. Proverbs chapter 4 says, "Give careful thought." Like, think about it beforehand. "Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." So he says, think about what you're doing before you do it. When you pick your foot up, think about where you're going to put it down. Think it through before it happens. And then be steadfast. Stay on that path and don't deviate and don't get off that path. Stay, be faithful. Be steadfast. I like to tell people that the time to think about your core values and what's really important and the kind of person that you want to be is not in the middle of a crisis. In the middle of a crisis, there's too much stress, there's too much flying at you. You don't have enough of your brain to think about what's really important and the kind of person that you want to be. I have this idea of the guy that I want to be in 10 years. And there are certain things that I have to do to get to that. There are certain things that I can't do if I want to get to that guy. Does that make sense? I'll give you an example. One thing that I won't do, just won't do, I've kind of drawn the line. It's never going to happen. I'm not going to ride in a car alone with a woman that's not my wife. And you might say, "Oh, that's kind of, you know, that's a little bit ridiculous. That's why would you draw the line there?" It's not that I think that one thing will lead to another or this or that or whatever. Maybe it would, but it's just the image of it, the message it portrays. It's just messy. I don't want to be about that, right? And so I've made the decision that I'm not going to do that. I used to tell that story when I'd give seminars to people. I'd say, I won't ride in a car with a woman that's not my wife. And one guy piped up in the back of the room and he said, "Is that because they're such bad drivers?" And I was like, no, don't say that. You're going to get something thrown at me. Don't do that. No, I won't do it because it's just not who I want to be in 10 years. I still want to be married in 10 years, right? So that is something that I have decided beforehand, before I get in the situation, that's something I'm not going to do. You need to have some core values, some things that you are just always going to do or never going to do. If the kids ask me to come play with them, I'm going to put down what I got and I'm going to go play with them. I'm just going to do that. That's what I've decided. And I'm going to do it that way every time. Number four, can it wait? Proverbs 21 says, the plans of the diligent lead to profit, as surely as haste leads to poverty. I remember when I was a kid, I wanted this new toy, whatever new trendy toy was coming out. And I asked my dad, I went up to him, I said, hey, can you buy this toy for me? And he said, come back to me in 2 months. If you still want it in 2 months, I'll go buy it for you. Pretty wise fellow, isn't he? Because he knew if I still wanted it in 2 months, I really wanted the toy, I would use it. If I didn't want it in 2 months, it didn't matter if it was at the store or in my closet, I still wouldn't want it. I still wouldn't be playing with it. Pretty smart, isn't he? We can do the same thing now that we're grown up. You know, if you're wanting something, you got your eye on something, can it wait? Rash purchases are not usually the right thing to do. I've been in a lot of sales meetings, and not to disparage any salesman in the room, but they talk about the time that it takes for somebody to decide whether or not they're going to buy something. And salesmen try to shorten that time that you get to think about your purchase, because they know that the longer you think about it, the more likely it is that maybe you won't go through and make the purchase. So give yourself some time. If you find yourself saying, I got to do this right now, I got to have this, I got to buy it, it might not be the most wise thing for you to do. People do this with relationships too. People get in relationships and maybe there's people around them that are saying, hey, it seems like things are going just a little bit fast. Do you feel like that at all? If you push back from that, and you feel like this relationship has to happen right now, this has to go, maybe it's not the wisest thing for you to be doing. I've done that with jobs before. I felt like I got to take this job right now. I can't think about it. I can't even ask anybody about it. I got to do this right now, and then I've lived to regret it. Just tap the brakes a little bit and think about it. Can it wait? And then number five, is it good for everyone? Is it good for everyone? In Proverbs chapter 14, he says, there is a way that seems right to a man until his wife walks in the room and tells him he's screwing it all up. I can say that because my wife's not here right now. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. All that's saying is that you can't trust yourself. You can't trust your feelings, your emotions. Something that seems perfectly right, perfectly normal to you, might be the exact opposite thing you need to be doing. Listen, you do not need to be researching stuff about big decisions very long before you're going to find gobs and gobs and gobs of people that will tell you, just listen to your heart. Follow your heart. You only live once. Do what's best for you. Sometimes you have to think about yourself. Listen, guys, I don't know about you, but I don't have to coach myself to be selfish. I don't have to talk myself into listening to my heart. My heart is already screaming at me. I can hear that just fine, thank you. What I need to do is quiet that down and listen to the people around me. All right? Chapter 18 says, whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment. When you're in a tough spot, when you got a decision looming, you got to figure out what you need to do, the answer is not to close yourself off from everybody and go lock yourself in the closet and listen to your heart and try to figure out what's best for you. When you isolate yourself like that, you're going to be selfish. That's just the way it is. And you're going to push back from people. If you're pushing back from people that are trying to give you advice, check yourself. You might be headed down the wrong road. All right? Listen to the people around you. The people around you care about you. And sometimes they can see things a little bit better than you can. I'm reminded of a silly little movie called Cheaper by the Dozen. You guys have probably all seen it. It's Steve Martin and Bonnie Hunt. And they're married, and Bonnie Hunt has just written this book, and it's kind of been her lifelong dream to write this book. And she wants to go on this big book tour to promote this book and sell a bunch of copies. And at the same time, Steve Martin is a college football coach, and he's coached at the same place for years and years, and he has this opportunity to kind of take the next step up, go to a better school, bigger budget, better division, all this kind of stuff, all the stuff the coaches like to climb that ladder, and he has this opportunity. It's always been a dream of his. So at the beginning of the movie, they're kind of talking back and forth, and they say, can we do all this? They're kind of not sure about it, and they say, yeah, let's go for it. And they decide they can have it all. We can go sell this book, and we can go get this shiny new fancy job. And the rest of the movie is all their shenanigans of trying to pull everything back together when it starts falling apart. And before you know it, the edges start fraying, and then the bottom falls out, and it's a disaster, and one of their kids runs away. And they get to that point in the movie, in all these movies like this, they kind of look around and they say, man, maybe our priorities were kind of a little screwed up. Maybe my dreams weren't the right dreams for me to be having if they were hurting the people that are around me, hurting all of our kids and making a mess of our family. Maybe that's not the right dream. Maybe I should have a dream of being a good father to my kids. Maybe I should take steps to make that happen. Because listen, no matter how many friends you think you don't have, you have friends. You have people that care about you. Your family cares about you, even if you don't care about them. What you do matters to them. It affects them. And so you have to think about that when you make these decisions. Most of the time, the wise decision will be best not only for you, but for the people around you as well. Most of the time. Now, at the beginning of the day, I asked you, why isn't God more clear when it comes to decisions like these? Why does he let us kind of wrestle around and twist in the wind when it comes to stuff like this? I'm going to answer that in a minute, but first I want to talk about some of the main themes that Solomon, one of the big ideas that he has throughout the book of Proverbs, and he talks often about paths and walking. In chapter 1, he says, my son, do not go along with them. Do not set foot on their paths. In chapter 4, he says, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of evildoers. Later on in chapter 4, he says, give careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Chapter 13, he says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. In chapter 5, he's talking about an adulterous woman trying to entice his sons, and he says, in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. She gives no thought to the way of life. Her paths wander aimlessly, but she does not know it. Chapter 10, he says, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. And finally, in chapter 23, he says, listen, my son, and be wise. Set your heart on the right path. So I think Solomon talked a lot about paths in Proverbs because he had this idea in his head that the next step you took mattered. That next decision that you make changes who you are. You guys can remember the first time that you did something that you know you shouldn't have, and then you kind of had that attack of conscience, and you're kind of thinking about it, and like, oh, should I do it? Should I not? I know it's wrong. And then you just went ahead and did it. And then the next time you had that same conscience attacking you, you were like, oh, last time it wasn't that bad. Every time that you went through with it, it was easier, wasn't it? It was changing who you were become. It was kind of rewiring your brain. You were headed down that path. And if you want to end up over here and you're going down the wrong path, that first step matters and the second step matters. Every decision along the way matters. It's not just in Proverbs that the Bible talks a lot about paths and walking. It talks about it all through the Old Testament. There's a lot of references to that. And I think that's because they didn't have any cars. They didn't have any airplanes. If they were going to go somewhere, they had to walk there, didn't they? And it wasn't usually very smart to travel alone, so they usually had somebody with them. If they're going to walk to another city, another place, they're not going to walk in silence. They're going to talk to each other, aren't they? And the Bible talks about some of the giants of the faith, some of the big, Abraham and Enoch and Noah and Isaac and Jacob, and they talk about those guys, about how they walked with God. That's how they describe their faith. They walked with God. They shared their life with God. Picture an abandoned country road. Go back one. An abandoned country road. There's maybe one or two cars that drive down that every day. and you're walking down that road with somebody, a good friend of yours, you're not just going to walk in silence. You're going to talk about your work. You're going to talk about your spouse, your kids. You're going to talk about what's important to you, maybe somewhere you'd like to go, somewhere you'd like to visit. You're going to share your life with that person. Maybe that's a little too mushy and romantic for you. Maybe if you're a guy in the room, maybe you're going to go build a deck, right? But we're not just going to build a deck. It's going to look good when we're done too, right? But we're going to talk about stuff. We're going to talk about sports. We're going to talk about our jobs, our kids. We're going to share our lives together. We're going to spend that time together and share our lives together. Listen, I think that God puts those situations in our path. He allows us to go through that kind of stuff because he wants to walk with us. He enjoys being with you. He's a good father. He cares about you and he enjoys your presence. Just like you're good parents to your kids. You care about what they do, right? But you also just like them to be around. You like to be with your kids. God's the same way. He just wants you to be with him. And I can tell you from my own life, the times where things are going well and I got everything under control, the first thing I forget about is God. Like, oh, I got this. I don't need to worry about that. But the second some kind of trouble hits and I got a big decision I got to make, drives me back to my knees. It makes me seek God's face. I think if God just told us all the answers and gave away the ending, we'd forget about him and we wouldn't worry about walking with him. I think we ought to be people that walk with God. Every day we share our lives with our Father. My father-in-law, when I first got married, I really respect the guy. He's a great godly man. I really care what he has to say. So when I first got married, I started coming to him with all these kind of decisions. Whenever I had a decision where I didn't know what to do, I would ask my father-in-law. And it drove me crazy because he would never, never, never tell me what he thought I ought to do. No matter how long we talked about it, no matter how many times I asked him, he would not tell me what he thought I ought to do. And I really wanted to know his opinion. And it took me years to figure it out, and I finally figured it out. He didn't tell me what he wanted me to do because he didn't want to give away the ending. He didn't want to be a spoiler. He wanted me to go to God and pray about it and think about it and walk with God, walk with Jesus, and figure that out on my own. He knew that God cares about the process. We get all worked up about where the end is going to be. What's the destination? How is this thing going to turn out? Am I going to like the way this story ends? God knows about it. It's not that he doesn't care about that, but he knows the end from the beginning. He knows how it's going to turn out. God cares about the process, what happens in your heart when you're in one of those situations. So if you guys are in a tough spot right now, you have a decision looming that you're not sure what to do with, walk with God. Be close to him. Be by his side, and he'll help you make that decision. It's by design. He wants you to wrestle with that stuff because he knows that that'll make you closer to him. Let's pray. God, thank you for this day and thank you for this wisdom. Thank you that you're a God that can give us wisdom. And I ask especially for those of us in the room that have a big decision looming, I ask that you would be a God that would walk along the path with them. You would guide every step that they take, every thought that they think, and you would get them to the place where they are making that wise decision that you've called them to. Help us be a people that don't forget about you when things are going well. Help us be a people that walk with you every day, share our lives with you, and enjoy your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.